You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda Hall Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic, all the way from the Gold Coast. Well, we've all, you know, recovered from Easter, and now we're sort of looking at world events, and I'm not going to go there. I mean, you know, it's just one crazy week after another with the things that are going on around the world. And, you know, for the next half an hour, let's just lighten everything up and let's sort of just enjoy being free, I think, and being in the moment and not worrying about too much about what's going on externally around it. So this week, the Simply Tarot card of the week is a really interesting card because it's the Empress. Now, delays will prove necessary. Now, look, over all my years of teaching, lots of people have said to me, oh, there's lots of different meanings for this card. Some people said to me it's the card of fertility, the card of a birth of a baby or things like that. Look, I don't honestly see it, and I've been working with tarot over 40 years now, probably closer on 50 years, and it's something that I sort of look at, and I still sort of see the same thing that I saw when I first started working with the tarot, is the Empress is somebody that's powerful. She's a powerful female figure. If she says there's going to be delays and they will be necessary, then we have to work with that because she's got the wisdom. She's sitting there on her throne, sort of nothing's bothering her too much. She's giving her rendition or her version of what she sees is going on in our lives, and she's saying delays will prove necessary. So I'm going to take that as being gospel because that's what I found over the years of working with the tarot. And this is something that you don't just necessarily take a single card. If this was to come out in a reading and there's some positive things around it, you would say, okay, there may be small delays or there may be something that you need to reassess, that you need to look at. You don't just take a single card in a card reading, in a spread of cards, and say that's the predominant card or the only card there. It weaves together with other pictures that are around it. And because this is a major arcana card, this is like the noun in the sentence. So I take notice of when the Empress comes up, even as a single card for the week, she is asking us to have a good long hard look at our lives and look at what things might need to be put on hold. What can we reassess? Why is there delays and why are these delays necessary? Have we missed something? Have we not looked at something squarely enough to sort of say, okay, there is change in the air, but we just have to put our patience hat on. And I don't like that word either, patience. It's not very nice. None of us like patience, but we have to be aware of this, that this is what is necessary at the moment, is to be patient. Now, this week, astrologically, yes, it's a big week, and I've been saying that for a long time. We've still got the major predominances in Aries. So when I talk about the Aries energy, this is the beginning of the zodiac year. It doesn't start in January like the calendar year starts. The astrological year starts with the beginning of the sun entering into Aries, which is approximately the 22nd of March. 22nd of March is predominantly the time when the sun enters Aries. It can be as early as the 16th of this month and as late as the 26th, but the average time is the 22nd. So that is the beginning of the astrological year. So we obviously have the sun sitting in Aries at the moment. So happy birthday to all the Aries. And I have lots of Aries clients and friends and family that are celebrating birthdays at this time of the year. My finger gets very tired dialing people and wishing them happy birthday at this time of the year. So happy birthday to all the Aries. Now, the sun in Aries and being your birthday time means it's time to reboot things. It's time to sort of reorganize, relook at things. Look at what your dreams, your aspirations are going to be for the next 12 months. Look at what maybe you didn't achieve in this last 12 months that can maybe carry over into this birthday year and sort of put it at the top of the list. You know, sometimes we need to reorganize the order of things that we need to achieve. You know, sometimes the things that were at the top of the list might move progressively down because they're not quite as important, or there's not enough information, or it isn't ripe enough yet to move it forward. And that's okay. We don't always have to do everything in the order that we've got it written down in our list or our list of our mind. It's, you know, things sometimes jump the queue a little bit and take more priority. So happy birthday to all the Aries. So we've got the Sun in Aries at the moment is conjunct or holding hands with what's known as one of the Arabian parts, which is Chiron, which is the where we find we need to heal in our chart. Now, at the moment, I'm working with the Aries energy and the other fire sign energy. So it's going to be washing over Leo, Sagittarius, and the opposite sign of Libra. But it is also washing over the remaining eight signs. So we have to look for where we might feel wounded, where we might need healing. And this can come on many different levels. It doesn't just necessarily have to come on a physical level. It can be on an emotional level. It can be on a soul level. It can be on, you know, needing to heal a rift within a family or an argument with the next door neighbor. You know, healing comes in many different ways. And at the moment, Chiron is asking each and every one of us to look at what needs healing in our lives. And I know for a lot of the fire signs, they're sort of a little bit bombastic and a little bit bossy and a little bit don't like being told what to do. And with that comes a stubbornness that, you know, they tend to sort of ignore physical things that might be going on in their body or the changes in their body, fobbing it off saying, I haven't got time to deal with it today, or that'll get better. If I just rest up for 10 minutes or take the day off work, I'll be better tomorrow when I can recharge the batteries and I can go back to it. Quite often what they do is they do more damage by not really listening or taking notice of, hang on the minute, the body's in pain. It's in pain for a reason. You are doing damage. You do need to get to, you know, to a medical practitioner and get some advice, get them to sort of sort out what is the problem and find a way to fix the problem rather than having it ongoing. And then it becomes a much harder situation to treat or fix. So that's my little, you know, soapbox for the day for the fire sign people, is that don't ignore anything that's going on in your life. And particularly if you're in pain or something doesn't feel right, take the time, spoil yourself, go to that to the medical practitioner, go and see somebody and find out what the problem is and try and find a solution so that you can be back to your tip-top self and be raring to go at top speed again. That's really sort of important. So we have Mars, also the planet of action, is conjunct or holding hands, is sitting in Aries as well. So there's quite an emphasis on Aries today. So Mars is the planet of action. It's also affectionately known as the planet of war, but we won't talk about that today. It's the planet that makes us get out of bed, that gives us the motivation to get up there and do things, to make changes in our lives, things that are sort of necessary. So yes, sometimes when we're talking about Mars, we can go about it in a bombastic sort of, you know, not really caring what anybody else thinks way, because it's me first, because that's the Aries energy. And Mars sort of really feels comfortable with that. He wants to sort of get out there and sort of flex his muscles a little bit. But with him conjunct or holding hands Saturn is like the father figure, the disciplinarian, the structure, that puts the good solid concrete base underneath you, a good solid foundation, and says, now hang on a minute, let's just slow this down. Let's start to get some plans here. Let's start to think this through. Let's look at the consequences or the, you know, for your proposed actions. Are they really worth it? Are they going to bring the results that we want? Or do we need to slow it down and maybe come from a different approach and look at things very differently? So again, I'm talking about fire signs. I'm talking about Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and the opposite sign of Libra, but it's also washing over the remaining eight signs. So what it's asking you to do here in your personal life is, yes, you might need to get out of bed and put your angry hat on and get motivated and start some new projects or look at things through a different set of eyes, but make sure that you're doing it in a structured, constructive sort of manner, that you've looked at it from every angle, you've got a plan of attack. Yes, you've got the energy there to instigate this and to keep it going, but make sure that it's in a solid, constructive, positive sort of way, that the outcome that you're hoping to achieve is desirable and is potentially achievable. Because sometimes I think we can get so gung-ho with the enthusiasm of something that we forget to look at the practical side and whether or not it is actually achievable, or can we achieve it to the degree that we want to, or are we only going in and a hiss and a roar and making a big splash and then getting out of there and nothing's been achieved and all we've done is managed to waste time and resources. So I don't want to see people wasting time and resources. Make sure if you're going to start something or you need to approach something with great gusto, that you've got the structure there that enables you to achieve to the best of your ability the results that you were trying to achieve. That's really, really important at the moment. We also have Neptune, the planet of illusion, delusion, and creativity, has just moved into Aries as well. Now, with Neptune here, this is a really tricky situation because Neptune sort of wants to get everybody to sort of really sort of put the creative hat on, think about things in a completely different way, not necessarily go down the same rabbit holes that we've always gone down. Let's find some new ones to go down. So it's very interesting, because the Aries energy is about me first and is usually in a hurry, where Neptune doesn't like to do things in a hurry. Neptune likes to take their time and sort of create a bit of a fog or a bit of a mist and sort of, you know, not let you see things very clearly, while it slows everything down and gives you time to think and gives you time to daydream and wonder and sort of look at it maybe from another set of eyes and come back and look at it again and go away and have a little bit, you know, a little bit of a play in the fog and come back again. And eventually then we see the pathway clear and then we can put our determination hat on and go forward. So just be aware, even though that there may be some brilliant ideas and things might come to you very quickly, then all of a sudden they lose their momentum and it's like, well, was that really a good idea or not? Yes, it was. Be aware that it can come in fits and starts. It's not always going to be consistent. There's a lot of this fire sign energy around and a lot of the Aries energy is going to sort of come on very quickly and then sort of come to a sudden stop and then gather momentum again and go and then stop. So just be aware of that. Don't be too hard on yourself. Just go with the pace as it's being presented to you. So it's really interesting because all the stuff I've been talking about with Aries is really pushing hard on the Librans in the world at the moment. I've got a lot of Librian friends and, you know, a lot of clients and they're sort of going through massive changes in their lives at the moment. But most of them are handling it in such a way that really makes me quite proud because they're listening to what's going on. Yes, they've got the strength of the Aries energy to push if they need to, but at the same time, they're bringing in that great balance of that Librian energy of balancing the sort of scales, sitting back and saying, okay, let's just look at this from the whole picture, from the bigger picture, from all sides. And then we'll work out which path we're going to take. You know, we've gathered the knowledge, we've gathered the intel, we're sitting back, we're sort of digesting it, putting it into little boxes and sort of saying, well, I'll put that one up on the shelf, I'll bring that one down. And it's sort of like they're becoming very great strategists. And I'm not saying Librians can't be good strategists, I'm just saying we don't necessarily always associate that with the sign of Libra. We tend to look at Libra and them trying to balance the scales all the time and trying to make sure that everybody's happy. We don't look at them as being the great planners of strategy and sort of trying to outsmart somebody else or trying to bring in what's fair for them in a way that they other people are going to be caught a little bit off guard. Now, that's a good thing because it means for those Libras that are working in that energy that they're encompassing all the energy that I've been talking about of the Aries energy, which is opposite their sign at the moment, and they're using it in a very positive, constructive way, and they will get better results than what they were probably even dreaming of or hoped could be outcomes to situations. So it's about, you know, it's a little bit like being the hare and the tortoise. You know, you've got to speed up at times and then other times you've got to be like the tortoise and take it very, very slowly. So if you can work with that, I think you'll be hugely successful, Libras, no matter what you're trying to achieve. Now, we also have Mercury, the planet of communication, is sitting in Pisces at the moment. Now, I feel this is a good place for Mercury to be at the moment because it's slowing sort of that aggression down a little bit. The communication is a little bit more clear. It's a little bit more calm, hopefully with a little bit more wisdom because we've got the previous 11 signs that Mercury is gathering information and intel and ways to handle things and how to handle people. So hopefully we're going to get some clear communication coming, no matter what your sign is, but particularly for the water signs, which is Pisces, Cancer and Scorpio, and the opposite sign of Virgo. So it's a really important time, no matter what your star sign is if you've got communication, make sure that it's very clear, that you're not doing it in a bombastic way. Come across in a very sort of gentle, soothing approach. You will certainly achieve more by that than you will by coming in like the bull in the china shop and trying to take control. That will not help anything. So you need to approach things in a softly, softly, gently, gently sort of approach, and you'll certainly achieve far more on the communication stakes. I think we're going to find over the next couple of weeks that there's going to be particularly with communication in personal offence, there's going to be some real major breakthroughs. So this could be sort of certainly attributed to Mercury sitting here in Pisces, because we're finding more creative ways to find solutions. We're not just looking at it and saying this is the only way things can be done. So finally, I want to wrap up with Uranus sitting in Taurus. Now, Uranus has been in Taurus for over 7 years now. It's coming to an end. The 26th of this month, which is only days away, is going to spell the end of Uranus being in Taurus. So for any of the earth signs, it's Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, and the opposite sign of Scorpio, this will mean that anything that you have not achieved that Uranus wanted you to achieve during this 7 and a bit year transit is going to hit you now like a ton of bricks. So please go back, recheck, make sure that you've done everything that you think that you needed to do, anything that sort of felt urgent, because Uranus will strike like the bolt of lightning. If you've left it till the last split second and ignored it and avoided it, and haven't wanted to work with the energy of Uranus, then it probably will not be pleasant. It will strike like a bolt of lightning. It will come out of nowhere and it will be sort of very sudden, and you will sort of think, when the hell did that come from? Well, that's Uranus. You've been ignoring it all these years. So, you know, sometimes he has to sort of strike like that to sort of get the results that's needed before he shifts energy and moves into Gemini, where he'll be for 7 years. So it's really an interesting time. If you're a Taurus, don't hit the panic button. Just, you know, have a little check around. Make sure that you've done everything that's been troubling you or bothering you or coming to your attention. Make sure that you've left no stone unturned, and then sort of just glide your way through this next 11, 12 days until Uranus changes signs. But everything will sort of be great. But just make sure that you've done what you needed to do. We're going to talk with Angela in Long Island in New York in the USA. Are you there, Angela?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, sweetie. Do you have a question I can answer for you?
Yeah, I just want to see if you see Kevin reaching out to me anytime soon.
Okay, so he's a love interest, I take it?
His name is Kevin.
Yeah, he's a love interest, is he, sweetie?
Yeah, I mean, we're
someone you'd like to have a relationship with?
Yeah, well, we broke up like April 1st.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that you broke up, darling. Let me tune into Kevin's soul and I'll give you everything I get. At the moment, Kevin still seems to be very angry. And I'm not saying that he hasn't got a right to have some sort of anger or some sort of upset there, but I think what I'm picking up from his soul to me is way over the top. I think, if anything, you should be the one that should be more upset and more angry, because there wasn't really a lot of information that he shared with you at the reasons why he wanted the breakup. It was just he was cranky and that was it. Look, I don't feel in the short term he's going to reach out to you, because I think over the next couple of weeks he's got to try and sort of calm this anger down that's inside of him and sort of look at the whole situation for what it was. I do feel he will reach out again, but I don't think it's going to be as early as 2 weeks. I'm sort of looking at more to 4 to 5 weeks. And when he does, there's still this certain layer of anger there, that which I don't think should be there. But he's sort of, you know, he's reaching out and sort of saying, well, you didn't listen to me. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Well, hang on a minute. It's a two-way street. He didn't listen to you either. You know, like, I think communication was a little bit tricky between the two of you. And I'm not saying it's any one person's fault. What I'm saying is you both had times there where you were a little bit self-absorbed and maybe didn't pay enough attention to the other person's communication or their needs or whatever. But, you know, this is all part of a relationship, as we go through a relationship of learning to sort of get to know each other and what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable. In my opinion, he's a little bit childish and he needs to do a little bit of growing up. But I do feel that there is a real potential here for this for the relationship to rekindle itself. My only concern is, Angela, is we can't go back down the path the way that we did before. We've got to find different ways of resolving issues as they come up. You've both got to sort of be a little bit more present and sort of consider the other person's feelings and needs a little bit more. And then that will build a strong bond then. I'm not saying you've got to give in to everything he wants, and nor should he give in to everything that you want. But there's got to be some common ground there that we can build a solid, you know, put a solid foundation underneath the connection and then build a relationship for the future. Look, I like the energy between the two of you. I think, you know, half a dozen of one and six of the other. I think you both said and did things that weren't actually appropriate. But look, that's where we are now. He will come back to you. Once he gets over him being a little bit cranky, I think then he's going to be a lot more vulnerable and sort of open up and tell you how he really feels and ask you genuinely how you feel and, you know, have you missed me and all these sort of things. And the two of you, I think, will find your way back to each other. But it's going to be a tricky situation. You're both going to have to learn to sort of make adjustments as we go along. So I hope that's helped you, Angela.
Yeah. I just feel like that's a long time. You said 5 weeks. Like, I mean, he did text me apologizing.
I understand that, but, you know, you've got to understand he's got to process his emotions. I mean, 5 weeks in a lifetime is not even a drop in the bucket, you know, but to you it seems like a long time. So you just got to be patient. If you want a chance for this relationship to rekindle, then you've got to give him that space that he needs to heal and sort out his emotions, sweetie. Otherwise, there's no hope. If you try and push things, you'll just push him away.
Okay, so it's not like that he's seeing somebody right now.
No, I didn't feel he was seeing anybody. I think he's too busy sort of trying to sort out how hurt he feels, that he feels that you didn't listen to him, that you didn't give him what he needed. You know, he's like a little spoilt child hiding in the corner saying, you know, my bag of lollies tipped over. Where are they? But they're right in front of him. You know, like he's the one that's got to work through this. You know, you're more mature in the situation than he is. You just got to wait for him to be ready to sort of make connections, sweetie.
Okay, this is really hard. I miss them a lot.
I understand that. But if you start pestering him or start texting him or reaching out, that's only going to make him get more angry and it's the longer he'll be. So anyway, sweetie, that's where we've got to leave it. So we're going to talk with Connie now in Oceanside in California in the USA. Are you there, Connie?
Hi, yes, I'm here. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Oceanside in California sounds absolutely delightful, Connie. I bet it's a beautiful day there.
Yes, today is a beautiful day, yes. Yesterday and the day before was raining, like literally raining.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how can I help you tonight, sweetie? Do you have a question I can answer for you?
Yes, I will receive an eviction documents and I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to stay here where I am.
Oh, that's not very nice if you've got eviction notice. Usually with those sort of things, sweetie, the answer would be no. What I'm sort of picking up is there seems to be a technicality or something there that can buy you a little bit of time. I truly don't believe long-term wise that you can stay where you are, but I do feel that we can buy another couple of weeks or even maybe up to a month before you've got to make that sort of change. To me, this doesn't feel right. It's sort of as if, I'm not saying they've lied, but I think they've sort of stretched things a little bit more than what they should have to allow this eviction notice to be drawn up. You know what I mean? It's sort of like under normal circumstances, I think they would have given you a little bit more time or a little bit more leeway, but they haven't. They've gone to the letter of the law and that's it, we want you out. I don't know that they've been completely honest. I think even if you hadn't done anything wrong in their eyes or anything that they could get you on a technicality, they still would have wanted you out. So I think it's, you know, instead of them being honest and saying we want the property back, they've gone about it in such a way that makes you look like you've done something wrong. But look, there is going to be somewhere else that you're going to be moving to, and I don't feel it's very far away from where you are. And I see you being a hell of a lot happier there. You know, like it's like I can throw the doors and windows open and the sunshine comes in and I feel at peace. I don't know that you've ever really felt at peace where you are now, Connie.
Yeah, it's a little hectic. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I mean, it's hard when something like this is thrust upon you and you weren't expecting it and then all of a sudden you've got to, you know, reorganize your life. But let me assure you, once you've done that and you've made the transition and you've made the move, I actually think you're going to be far happier than where you are now. It's sort of like it's got an uncomfortable energy there. It's sort of like I don't think that anything has ever really gone right in the whole time that you've lived there. You've always been chasing something or trying to shore something up or trying to keep everything together. Where the next place that you go to, it's like life flows again. I feel I feel happy again. I feel like I can breathe again. I just didn't feel that with where you are now. Sort of sometimes the universe works in strange ways, Connie, that, you know, it creates a situation like this that we don't understand or don't want or think we don't want or need. And it's after we've worked through it and we come out the other side, we realize that this was the best thing that ever happened, even though at the time it didn't feel that way, because we wouldn't have made the change and got to where we need to go on our own. We've had to have our hand forced. So look at it as a new adventure. You know, there's an opportunity there to get into something that I think you're going to be far happier with, and your whole life will start to unfold because of it. And that's a good thing. So I just don't feel you've been told the truth in the whole of this situation. You know, I'm not saying you're completely blameless. I'm saying there's other factors there that you haven't been told about, and it's not completely your fault. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I appreciate you very, very much. Yes,
you're very welcome, Smith.
I live here where I am. I've been here for almost 4 years. I moved in mm-hmm. here with my ex, his new girlfriend, and his son, and myself. He mm-hmm. passed away in August of last year, and in a desperate move, I told the owner that I will fix her house if she let me stay. So she did. So now mm-hmm. that the house is habitable, now she wants me mm-hmm. out. And I owed, mm-hmm. before I owed her more than $2,000 in rent, and she accepted the rent. This time around, she doesn't want to accept the rent. She offered me a deal where she can give me money to move out. I just need to give her a time frame, and that she will provide the movers for me and mm-hmm. help me some months with some kind of money to until I get stable.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm, that's the situation.
Yeah, and it's not fair. I understand that. But look, I truly believe once you've made the move and you've moved into the new place, you are going to feel a lot happier. The energy around where you are now has never been settled. It's never been real. It's never been nice. Where the next place, mm-hmm. it's sort of like I feel happy. I can, you know, not necessarily you're going to have flowers growing in the garden, but that's what they show me, that, you know, like everything's positive. So just hang on to that, sweetie. The answers will come and the right place will come for you to move to. Unfortunately, Connie, that's where I've got to leave it. We've come to the end of the show. It's always hard when people are forced with changes that are coming into their lives, like Connie, that you weren't expecting, and throws everything out of kilter. And, you know, of course you become upset because you don't know what the next stages of your life are going to be. So this week I want to leave you with a song that's a very old song, but it's a beautiful song. It's got beautiful words. And, you know, as I say to you, for various different reasons, I choose the song of the week. And this week I've been actually binge watching the old series from the USA called This Is Us. It's the second time I've watched it, and I'm really enjoying it. There's a lot of layers of history in that show and a lot of twists and turns. And I find it interesting to see how all the players, you know, all the actors and everything interact. But the music that's throughout the show is absolutely amazing. And that's where I chose the song of the week this week. It's Everything I Own from Bread. And, you know, if you haven't watched This Is Us, I think it's one of those iconic series that you need to go back and watch and understand and take the time to sort of enjoy the episodes, because there's so many messages in there and so many things that are appropriate for today. But also it's sprinkled with a lot of history. So until next week, enjoy the song Everything That I Own from Bread, and bye for now.